Welcome to episode 1226 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we resume our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look. And for this chapter, we examine Jesus's take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? Throughout history, war has been one of humanity's most tragic and recurring realities. Nations rise against nations, families are torn apart, and countless lives are lost. Several ongoing conflicts have strong religious dimensions, including sectarian violence between Sunni and Shia Muslims in the Middle East, clashes between Christians and Muslims in parts of Africa, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has deep religious roots for both Jews and Muslims. The rise of extremist groups in various regions also contributes to the religious dimension of modern warfare. Jesus never gave a systematic lecture on war the way philosophers or generals might, but his words, actions, and ultimate sacrifice provide a profound framework for how his followers should view it. In the Sermon on the Mount, in his conversations with disciples, and in his confrontation with violent powers, he sets before us a vision of peace that challenges every human instinct toward vengeance and domination. When Jesus stood before Pilate, accused of treason against Rome, the pagan governor asked the Son of God if he were a king. Jesus replied,
"My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place."
In this statement, Jesus makes two points about war. First, he acknowledges the reality of worldly kingdoms and their use of violence to defend and expand power. Pilate knew kingdoms survive through armies, wars, and conquests. But Jesus insists his kingdom operates differently. His rule is not established or maintained by the sword, but by truth, love, and sacrifice. Second, Jesus redefines kingship and security. Pilate expected a revolutionary leader with soldiers at his command. Instead, Jesus showed that true authority is not secured through bloodshed, but through obedience to the Father and the giving of his own life. The implication is clear. Disciples of this king cannot view war the same way as the world does. Perhaps the most radical teaching of Jesus on war and violence comes in Matthew 5, verses 43 to 45.
"You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven."
War thrives on hatred of the enemy. Military training often involves dehumanizing the opposing side so soldiers can kill without hesitation. Yet Jesus commands the opposite. To follow him is to see even one's enemies as bearers of God's image, worthy of prayer, compassion, and forgiveness. This doesn't mean indifference to injustice or passivity in the face of evil. Rather, it means the Christian's first response to hostility is not destruction, but love, seeking the redemption of even those who oppose us. In commanding us to love enemies, Jesus also reframes what victory means. In war, victory is usually measured by defeating or subduing opponents. In the kingdom of God, victory is measured by whether hearts are transformed, whether mercy triumphs over judgment, and whether reconciliation replaces revenge. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says,
"Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God."
Notice he does not say peace lovers or peace dreamers, but peacemakers. Peacemaking requires effort, courage, and intentionality. It means stepping into spaces of hostility and offering forgiveness where others demand retaliation. It involves creating conditions where justice and reconciliation can flourish. In the context of war, Jesus' Beatitude calls his followers to resist glorifying violence and instead to embody creative alternatives to it. Some Christians throughout history, like the Anabaptists or Quakers, have embraced pacifism, refusing to take up arms. Others have sought to serve as chaplains, mediators, or relief workers in times of war, providing healing rather than destruction. Whatever the role, the call remains. If we claim to be God's children, our identity is tied to making peace. One of the clearest moments where Jesus addresses violence directly occurs at his arrest in Gethsemane. When soldiers came to seize him, Peter drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus commanded,
"Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword."
Here, Jesus rejects the instinct to meet violence with violence. His words echo the wisdom of history. Wars breed wars, cycles of revenge escalate, and violence rarely produces lasting peace. Jesus' healing of the servant's ear immediately afterward shows his heart. Even in the face of betrayal and arrest, he chooses restoration over harm. For us, the lesson is sobering. In moments when anger tempts us to strike back, Jesus' command still rings, "Put away your sword." Whether that sword is literal or symbolic, cutting words, bitter resentments, or aggressive actions, the path of Christ is not retaliation, but trust in God's justice. The ultimate way Jesus speaks to the issue of war is not with words, but with the cross. On Calvary, he absorbs the violence of the world into himself. Rather than calling down legions of angels to destroy his enemies, he allows himself to be crucified, praying,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
The cross shows us that the deepest battle is not between nations or ethnic groups, but between sin and holiness, death and life. Humanity wages war because sin fractures relationships and breeds fear, pride, and hatred. Jesus defeats the root of war by conquering sin at its source. His resurrection proves that love is stronger than violence, that reconciliation is more powerful than revenge. For the Christian, every earthly conflict must be evaluated in light of the cross. Does this action align with the self-giving love of Christ, or does it perpetuate cycles of hate? Does it reflect God's justice, or does it serve human pride? The cross becomes our lens, reshaping how we think about conflict, security, and victory. So what does Jesus' guidance on war teach us about his character, purpose, and mission? Let's get deep. Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6 calls him the Prince of Peace. His entire mission is to reconcile humanity with God and with one another. Unlike worldly rulers who achieve peace through dominance, Jesus achieves peace through sacrifice. His character is defined by gentleness, compassion, and mercy. Jesus's mission is reconciliation. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:19, "God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." Jesus came not to destroy enemies, but to turn enemies into family. Every act of forgiveness, every call to love enemies, reveals his mission, restoring broken relationships in a divided world. Jesus confronts powers differently. He does not ignore injustice. He challenges corruption, hypocrisy, and oppression. But he does so not by raising armies, but by exposing falsehood and embodying truth. His refusal to fight back against Rome does not mean approval of Rome's violence. It means he unveils a higher power, one that breaks the back of evil through self-giving love. Jesus reveals God's heart. Ultimately, how we view war through Jesus' teaching reveals God's heart. God does not delight in bloodshed. He grieves over human violence. Jesus' willingness to forgive even as he is crucified reveals the depths of divine mercy. War may define human history, but peace defines God's kingdom. What does this mean for us today? Pray for peace. Reject hatred. Be peacemakers in daily life. Witness to a different kingdom. War is one of humanity's greatest tragedies, but in Jesus, we find a radically different perspective. He shows us that his kingdom is not maintained by violence, that his disciples are called to love enemies, and that true victory comes not through conquering others, but through reconciling them. Ultimately, Jesus' guidance on war reveals his heart. He is the Prince of Peace, the reconciler of enemies, the King who reigns not with armies, but with a cross. To follow him is to put away the sword, to take up the cross, and to become peacemakers in a broken world. Father, we confess that the world teaches us to fight and retaliate, but your Son calls us to a higher way. Help us to put down our swords, whether those swords are our words, our grudges, or our actions. Make us peacemakers in our homes, our workplaces, and our world. Thank you for sending Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who conquered sin and death with love. May we follow him faithfully until the day when swords are beaten into plowshares and your kingdom of peace covers the earth. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.